remember, can you give Honorable Tsao an opportunity to complete raising his concerns? All concerns are being recorded. So.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'll move on to the next page, which speaks about the education policy that it refers to. Now, we didn't have time of an education policy as a committee, Honorable Chair. And if verses have been allocated in terms of that policy, then I think we should get a copy of the policy that was designed by the department. The other one is the employment placement. It speaks about provide the skills or qualification. Now, in terms of our policy, we're supposed to assist people with RKO and to refer them to universities or institutions that can do an audit, skills audit, in order for them to get some qualification or paper to say that they achieve this level of skill. And I think this needs to be made a point, and not necessarily just skills or qualifications. We should also say RPO and make it very clear, because that is part of the redress in South Africa in dealing with people that did not have formal qualifications. So those were the ones on that. The other one is facilitation of business opportunity. I think here we also just need to have some policy and guidelines for people to register, particularly military veterans that do not have background to business or may have entered into a small business, to give them some assistance. So we must have some guidelines and policy that we have to provide for them to assist them in the registration process. The other concern I have is the one on the burial support. I think it must clearly state it's only for the military veteran. If it is for dependents, then we have to clearly stipulate it. But in this stage, we're speaking about military veteran only, the 25,000 that applies. That's my understanding that I'm getting from the regulation. If not, then the department must clarify that for us. The other one is the duration to process the application. Now, two processes. One is a person dies and his family is by the means to bury him. Another person dies and his family is not by the means. How long does it take this department to process such an application if they get a notice of death? Because the family may be dependent on this money in order to give their military veteran family member a decent burial. If that is the case, what is the duration for them to process? And if so, can the claimant then make a claim before the actual burial takes place? I think those are some considerations in light of the circumstances of military veterans. The other one is when we say people must submit details of pensions they receive, they may receive all different pensions. Do we have any way of verifying or finding out if people are actually getting other pensions? But only department that can press a button and know everything that's going on in our life is SARS. Now, is there any way that we are actually connected with SARS to assist us in this process, Honorable Chair, to make this process easy for us in the issue of qualifying for benefits? Are we working closely with SARS so that they can assist us with the assessment? And they can do a very quick one. I don't know if we have the system, but if we can plug into that system, of course, there will be limited access. Then it will help us greatly in determining quickly if people qualify or that other source of income which they did not disclose, so that those who are really deserving, they actually get the benefit. The other one is people must sign this document. Now, if people can't sign, what do they do? So do they use the fingerprint? What other means do they use? And I think we must not, these are real situations where people come from different backgrounds. And, well, it depends on what print that you want to use. But I just want to say that maybe we should just assist people to make it practical that we have not only a cross taken. People just put a cross on a line and say that's a signature, that's what's acceptable. The minimum would be if you can't sign, you actually put a fingerprint. The other one is simply there's quite a few errors typographical errors or and also non-consistency in the application form of the headings that were made. It's not consistent. Some are small letters, some are capital letters, and that needs to be cleared up. And also, when we say if a person is applying as an MB or as a dependent, and they only have one space. Now, it may be five dependents, or maybe three dependents. So I think we need to create the space that people can then add their details in as dependents. So it will be actually designed in that way that people can fill in their application form very easily. I think that is all for now, Sujay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Issam. Any other concerns that Honorable members want to raise? If there is none, Honorable Mazia.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not raising concerns. However, I'm just imagining that all matters that Honorable Issam have raised, if we have to deal with them, technically they disqualify the regulations. Though they are gazetted, they disqualify them. Now, going back to imagine how long has it taken us to be where we are, I'm just trying to find out and check with the legal groups that what is it that we can do, because we are not saying yes, let us accept them with the errors that reflect today, but we have a problem because this regulation, immediately after gazetting, the money was transferred to the department and the money might be spent, and next month it's the financial year end, and we have 300 million that you must spend within 3 weeks, and the regulations are not allowing you to be as effective as you would want to. So I just want a legal opinion of what is it that we can do now, because if we are going to make a submission that has got so many errors, that submission is technically going to say that there was interference with the original regulations as presented to finance.
Honorable members, in terms of the procedure, if we agree, I think we have to agree as a committee as to whether we are comfortable with the concerns raised. And in terms of procedure, if those concerns we agree with, they must be submitted to the NA. If this has to be adopted in the NA, it should be adopted with those concerns in order to be binding. It does not stop any process. Honorable Issam?
Yes, I think the issue is when regulations are completed, Honorable Chair, my understanding is that the minister can proceed. We simply are raising our concerns. We got some rectification, some typographical errors that we forward to NA to adopt, and that will be referred to the minister's recommendation from outside. But it does not interfere with the processes that must continue at the minister's discretion and that must report back to Parliament. So there shouldn't be any interference with that part of it. We want to just improve on what we have and to close the gaps in terms of policy guidelines and other things that can be prepared to assist the minister. That's our job. But the minister is ultimately responsible, and especially these transfers of money with these documents being considered. So I'm also asking the question, did Treasury really go through these documents? Okay. They must do also their job properly.
Yes, I'm agreeing with what you're saying, but in another way.
Yeah.
So we're agreeing with the concerns, right? Let's send them to the NA.
Thank you very much. If there is nothing else, then we can continue to the quarterly report. DJ? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I'm sorry, I've not even covered the issue with my DG. Is it career limit? It's on a light note. I think there's an acknowledgement that perhaps it's almost unprecedented that 300 million is released a month before the end of the financial year, and it has to be spent within that period. So to the extent that the legislators could advise, can a special dispensation be created just for the sake of ensuring that we do not disadvantage military veterans by having pressing timelines on the one hand and the enormity of the task of being able to prioritize in the 300 million range. All I'm trying to say is, one is saying, given the circumstances that are unique, is there no way in which, from a legislative and policy perspective, can a special consideration be made? Because some of the delays may not be the making of the department. They may be having a making of consultative processes that have put us in a space where it is not as easy as it would have ideally been 6 months ago.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
But we were talking about presentation of the
No, we're talking about the money that we spend. Because these regulations say us are supposed to be facilitating the what is asking for me that is that
what is asking the person is there any way as a committee we can assist, seeing that the money has been given a month before the end of year, financial year end? Is there any way that we can assist so that they can spend that money within that month, and we don't have or get a qualified report? Then he's asking for assistance in terms of a new dispensation so that we are allowed to spend that money, of course, within the confines of Italy.
Honorable Issa?
Honorable Chair, I would definitely support the department. There's a late transfer of money which was pending subject to the regulations, and I think from the committee side we should support the department in the appeal for the rollover of the 300 million for the next financial year. We should do that. And in all fairness, they will have a qualified report in terms of that under expenditure, and we should also acknowledge that now, so that when it comes up, the AG, everybody knows there's a just reason for that particular rollover.
So we must support the rollover.
Absolutely.
That's why. Okay, thank you very much. Can we go to the next item, one, if you are done? Did you? Come to the presentation, did you?
Yes. Thank you, honorable members. The scope is as indicated to give the second and third quarterly performance report in the previous year. For this previous year, we were in the last quarter now, and to just indicate where we are, what we've been able to deliver on our mandate in light of the last quarters that have passed. Our report is in four parts, which will provide general information, performance against plan, progress on the risk mitigation, as well as early warning. And our mandate is known to yourselves as honorable members. And then also our vision and mission is also to ourselves, as well as our departmental values. And the organizational structure has been illustrated to you previously and has not changed from that, except to say that it is close to 100% has been populated. And then on the contribution to our national development plan and the MTSF, as well as outcomes and executive authority priorities, on outcome 12 and how that links with the MTSF priorities. Outcome 12 seeks to an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service, as well as inclusivity. The link to the MTSF with respect to building a developmental state, and then also looking at that in line with the National Development Plan, it speaks to chapter 13 of the NDP on the building of a capable and developmental state. And then with respect to the executive authority's priorities, to ensure a fully functional department with an independent board, systems and processes, to report progress on that, as of 30th of June to 31st of December, has been the development and approval of the second and third quarterly reports for the DMV. Also during that period, draft regulations were amended in line with inputs that were provided from the state law advisors as well as national treasurer. Also, a letter to the Minister of Finance to provide concurrence with the sub-benefits regulation. This is how public this has gone, and then submitting our draft strategy plan for 2014 as well as the TGP national treasurer. On outcome 7, 8, and 12, with respect to housing, as we report that too, without links to going into the links to MTSF and NDP, as we report that too, and this speaks to the subsidization of provision of the housing. On housing, so we report that too, in the Northwest province, two houses were officially handed over to two well-known Sebastian. In quarter three, we got an agreement to adjust the housing process of moving the introduction. That's after engagement between our honorable deputy minister of introduction as well as the human sector. On pensions, we proceeded to engage to develop a university and pension agreement. Actually, in that regard, the commission. Thank you.
We also, at the end of what I'm saying, still on mental education, we had a first annual education on the 20th of December. This has basically related to the standard standards to begin a dialogue between the department and also the attendant of the university who are attending education support. On the establishment of the Ministry of Health and Wellness Center, the Jordan Quarter 2, we finalized that it is a study on economic establishment. And Jordan Quarter 3, the Department of Public Health was finalizing the package of the first Ministry of Health and Wellness Center. Furthermore, still on the issue of healthcare, and during the Quarter 2, we have 538 and then combined with the third quarter, that's 4,881 who are now at the two loaded into the PMD and the SEM healthcare. And then also the 4,583 in healthcare card that is health access to. On empowerment programs for community workers, we have planned that during this fiscal year we finalize the conclusion of the special type of vehicle. This is still under discussion, but the initiative is to basically ensure that we have access to economic participation in community workers. And that is indeed utilizing the potential of economic development, the CMD and other partners, as well as departments of state entities for the private sector. Also, operationalizing the social support vehicles, which will help mitigate the problems, and the social and then, strengthening government and oversight protocol, which will be kept to the provisions of the Act, we have begun to establish a government structure and institution to provide advice to the operations of public and legal authorities. On the establishment of the umbrella body, in accordance with Section 7 of the Act, the umbrella body was established at the end of September, October of 2018, for 10 weeks, the end of the second quarter of the year, we have now gone out for the establishment of the abandoned board, as well as the active board, and also the own economy. Those are processes still underway, to continue the registration of the economy. And then the on heritage matters, promotion of heritage. This lesson presented as well as in the district and honor the administration. During this period, we went on to analyze the strategic location for the establishment of the schools at the Amos project. And this way, we are working on the project. We are now working on the extra construction before this time in the project. We did not assist in the other issues of heritage with respect to restoration of grace of religious lessons for the student award, as well as inside and after the country, as well as the establishing a hero of the Victorian Acres, the Amsterdam Memorial, and so on. And also the memorization of the founding member, and then the developing of programs to provide the healthy lessons to the. So those is not a continuous during the previous under our review. On the other matter of the enhancing initial lessons transmission to the conservation and initial building, during the period under review, we had two public certification programs, which we held to commemorate Nelson Mandela Day, and these were in the Eastern Cape, specifically in the and then also during this period and our review, establishing the database of new students coming
Thank you. Gracias. Instead of taking this
The next one on the same page, Chair. The database. You see, Chair, in terms of this database, you don't know exactly, or you are not sure exactly of what is happening. If we went out to register, all what we hear and see is what the media out there is saying. The department is not talking to the target, correct? NHS, the last time we said is this, who are supposed to be the front of the rollout in terms of interaction with the target, correct? To the length and the breadth of the target. We have a chief communications officer who are supposed to go there. Go out there to the veterans, not veterans coming to the veterans. Because we're talking about people who don't have the means to come to the veterans. How far did we go with that? Because it's not here. What was the success of that operation? Because they didn't have. All we had was that we had a communications officer who was supposed to gave us a plan, but that was the last we had of that. What has happened? Because the team will stop having the problems that you are having. Whereby we have veterans, yes, they know that the next step act, we know that there is a department. But what does this department do? How does it get to them? How does it assist them? It's in the past. It's a lot of new past. And to remind the department, we have an act of parliament that is it. That will not stop anyone. Whether it's military veterans themselves or members, family members of military veterans, that will take this department to account. Because it's an active law, and therefore, it must do what is supposed to be done. And to emphasize on this point, Chair, I want to know what happened with that rollout and going out to the veterans. What happened to that because we haven't had it. The next one, Chair, will be on page 18. We're talking about 965 military veterans were employed. Can you get an understanding where were these military veterans employed? How? What was the process? How were people involved? Because you see, Chair, we're sitting with military veterans across where some of them don't have the papers to prove that they are qualified. Because there seems to be a couple that is preoccupied with papers. And I do remember that we talked to the Commission of Crime, and again, I'm hearing nothing about it. Because it's not like we have veterans, uneducated people, or don't know anything. Besides the fact that these are military people, in terms of their specialty, they are military. But there are other things that they know in respect. But what is the department, or what has the department done in terms of making sure that that is being realized through that recognition of crime, so that they do realize their capacity? Chair, I'm getting worried. Sometimes we were told that the department is so worried about a building or where they should be. In as much as there are challenges with the Department of Public Health, in the interim, we have the Department of Defense, we have public way, that they have some of the buildings that the defense is saying they have water and electricity that they are using. In the interim, should you be worried? Yesterday, the military veteran is passing. Today, another military veteran is passing. Tomorrow, then we are not. We are still preoccupied with the really not so important. I understand, Chair, that when people that must work in a conducive space with equipment and all that to be able to achieve what they're supposed to do. But but some of the things that the department is worried about, really, they have no concern. Really, they are not that urgent. Because if I may ask, on page 22, the number of funded and unfunded schools and the stack that they have, that I'm sure that they are supposed to be paid, and what they have been paid, what has been done. Because in this report, in a number of areas, we hear about things that are still to be achieved, of processes that are still to be realized, and yet this stuff is being paid. And this department, this primary task, and this money is to take care of the local business before any other thing. I think this will be the last one, Chief.
Correct.
On page 23. I don't understand what I'm saying. The transformation is a special feature, right? If somebody can explain to me what's happening there, I see one another. I'm not sure what they are saying to me. And I'm not sure what I was supposed to be learning with us. And lastly, Chef, with all the other things that we're getting, or hearing rather, to be easy to hear things that the department is doing, are not safe. I would like to know why are they not safe. Because some of these things that we're hearing, they are managing. I think it's okay.
It's not working. It's recording. Okay. Okay, I didn't know. I'm a military veteran. Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the presentation. I must say something has been done. The first issue that should make me to talk with pride and dignity is to see the organizational structure. I make you say it's populated now. But I'll be happy if I can see such a structure on the ground really working. not in some offices. I think Honorable Daniels covered me there. But truly speaking, those of us who are MPs and activists, hey, we don't have this thing where we come from. We just don't have what you see on page 10, on slide number 10. Let's have it on the ground, and then we say hooray. Military veteran structure is there, is existing. That's my point one. My point two is on slide 17. The Beachwood Hotel workshop. I would like to know how were they invited, these military veterans living with disabilities. How were they invited to ensure inclusivity? And I'm sure by now you understand why I'm asking this question. I come from an area where there are many of them, and none of them ever told me about this Beachwood workshop. So I don't know how were they invited, what was the rationale behind who attends and why. And then on slide 23, while you had the workshop in Beachwood, but under transformation, number of disabled members nil. Why don't you have any person with disabilities being employed or appearing there? Because after the workshop, I would have thought you got some people who you can employ. It's not nice. Our government came, and in government buildings there were steps, and since we took over, we have changed the look of our government buildings. If our own military veterans are going to have nil employment of people with disabilities, we'll be defeating what we fought for. We'll be really defeating what we fought for. On slide 25, the non-functioning of the MV toll-free. I wouldn't like to see this thing next time. Because why is it not functioning? What does it take for it to function? I wouldn't like to see any report that is telling me that it's non-functioning. What am I supposed to say as a member of parliament? Why is it not functioning? It's ready to be reported that it's not functioning. Why not? What is hindering it to function? And we've got disabled people who can make these sort of things to function, because it doesn't need them to move around. You can hire them to make these sort of things function. Thank you, Chair. I'll end there. Those were for my four issues.
Thank you, first question is on the housing. There was an adjustment made in terms of the criteria between Ministry of Deputy Minister of Defence and Military Veterans and Human Settlements Minister. We'd like to know what adjustments especially were done to the policy that is currently being implemented in the various provinces. So, and also at the local level. So that is one question. Also the other question, in terms of Section 6 of the Military Veterans Act, all provincial line departments supposed to provide information to the Department of Military Veterans of housing that was allocated to military veterans. Not only that which is provided by the department itself, but also by line departments of the various provinces. We have had no sight of any report regarding those matters, and that is actually a matter noted in the Military Veterans Act itself, Section 6, clauses A to C. The other one is the Alexander Forbes. The framework, what is the current status? Is it finished or not yet? Because, as Honorable Daniels, after 400 other people were resolved their pensions in terms of special pensions and DSD. Now, we are trying to get one pension. And on the other hand, while this whole process is still carrying on, what advice do we give to military veterans that qualify for a pension? Can't they just go take a state pension in the meantime? Can they just get some money, some income, while the department is still debating and working out one pension for everybody? I think we need to be realistic and give our military veterans some guidance so they have some income, and there is a state pension if in terms of
indigent, if you're poor, if you're unemployed, you're over 60, you can qualify, you go get a pension for yourself. So I think we should be encouraging those that did not get a military pension, or because it's not resolved yet, that they actually take a state pension. The other one is, the chair is, I'm going to ask again, what is the situation on the education policy that gives effect to bursaries being disbursed to people? What is the current education policy? The other one, of course, is the, I'm happy to note that the audit committee process is almost finished, and there's still dependency on the shared audit committee to maintain the controls within the department and to obviate any, of course, qualification that may be anticipated. So that is highly appreciated. I just want to also get the department's feel of it. Last week, an article was published that the SANVA, the umbrella body, is responsible for distributing 300 million that was transferred to the department. I just checked the article again. SANVA says that they're responsible. And that was quite surprising for me, but I just want us to note that. The other one is, of course, the issue of the database. I maintain, I have phoned, I've asked several questions. In terms of the definition, we're going to argue to and fro. People are military veterans, it's this side or that side of it. To qualify for benefits, we must be absolutely clear this criteria and regulation, and most people won't qualify. And there will be a bias because those who did not receive benefits before, and in terms of the qualifications required, they will first then be the ones to be beneficiaries of those benefits. And I think we have to be very clear, send out a clear message. Therefore, it is not correct that when we speak about a national database, military database, we speak about 56,666. That is totally incorrect. And we persist with it when there's a number of other CPRs that have been done, and they have not been incorporated, they have not been merged, they have not become one national military database. Because when the processes were done on registration, a number of these people that served before inside in the statutory forces and others, their names couldn't be found on that database. So clearly, they were on some other CPR. So this is a complete wrong reflection of military veterans in the country. The other one is, I'm not going to comment on the communication and marketing strategy. That has been a disaster. It's giving us more headaches every day to deal with these problems than the department giving direction to our military veterans. The other one I want to raise, Honourable Chair, is the issue of this point on page 18, 955. It was raised by Honourable Daniels. It makes up 6% of the target, which are 3%, and now the, compared to 13,700 military veterans by April 2030. Now, what is this 13,700 when we've got a database of 56,666? So I don't know, has this database been filtered to say that these are the people that are unemployed, that they need to work actually, and therefore in terms of those unemployed, this percentage of them were employed and therefore constitute 6%. I don't read that there, I only see 13,700 military veterans by April 2013. So it is not clear to me if this is a filtered process and how it's been done. Here I desperately need help against the selected performance indicators. If I go through these items, I cannot comprehend it. I try to comprehend it, Honourable Chair, but the figures I cannot reconcile. There's a target that you set, there's an actual that you achieve. There's a baseline of the previous year that you did achieve that you want to improve on. You add up all the actuals and you give them your achievement in relation to your initial target for the year, and that constitutes a percentage of it. I cannot find this reconciliation between these figures. So I'm just urging the department, please clean up this. We cannot read it, we cannot understand it, and the figures don't add up. I can sit down with the department, I can go through and do the calculation, but clearly I can illustrate that one. This one on page 21. There's a baseline of 200, number of deserving military veterans to access relevant training and skills development per year. 200 is the baseline. There's a target set for the year of 2,000. The second quarter we have 500, the third quarter we have 500 as a target. The actual achieved is 12, and in the third quarter 221. But I've got the result of minus 312. I don't know. I'm not going to comment. I think the department needs to sort that out. And in terms of the employment equity itself in the country, and of course if you take the national demographics that is used by the department, I would like the department to give us actual figures. This is a report on the staff, but this does not speak to the Equity Act. And I'd like to say, what is the response to it? I see there's 6 additional posts to the establishment, which is 169, which makes it now 175. Was this approved by PSAP? And secondly, we have 135 posts that is funded, but only 87 filled. So 48 are still unfunded, so still not filled, 48 posts. There are temporary 43 positions, temporary. And if we look at the Employment Equity Act, again, this is questionable in terms of the Act in South Africa itself. The department does not answer the question to the heading that it states of the transformation and employment equity itself. It doesn't respond to the heading to give answers in terms of the staff that occupies the actual positions. So there is a serious problem with the data and interpretation of data. The other one is the department's budget. This is an overview of the budget. I'd like to know also, there were 3 medal parades to honor our military veterans. I haven't seen any comment in this entire report of where that money came from, because it's not part of this budget. I don't see it in this budget at all. And also, if only 20% was spent because there was a late transfer of the 300 million from the Department of Treasury because of the benefit situation, I think that needs to be just added to be clarified why 20% is only spent essentially on administration and running the various activities, and of course the actual benefits that had to be transferred, and the department just needs to clarify that. So I don't know. We need to indicate when the transfer took place, what was the middle parade budget, and if why is it not here noted here in this report. I admire the department for the challenges, being open to what are the issues that are confronting the department, and of course acknowledging is one, but seriously, it also affects on our work as members of parliament when people are phoning us and a toll-free line doesn't work. And people are sitting for days. The frustration, the words people use with us online, it's unbelievable. And we're trying our utmost to facilitate and help military veterans, but we are not the executive authority and implementing agent of the decisions made by parliament and by government. So I'm urging the department, please clear up the obstacles and challenges and make this department work. The money is available. We have to get the structures up and going. It cannot be delayed, and we cannot compromise the competency of it. The other one is, of course, I'll leave that for my colleague to speak about the officers and others that were not in place. And, I think that should be fine. The one was the complement of staff that had to be, in fact, the planning was 169, Honorable Chair, that had to be filled 100% by the end of this financial year. And we're still speaking about 135 in terms of the targets that were set. So as Honorable Daniels is clearly stating, if we had taken the APP and strategic plan, that one page that deals with all the targets, and we take this report and put it next to it, we should have seen more of the issues that are not actually listed and the actual achievements. So I think in the future it would be very helpful if we can always put it next to the APP so that we can measure our achievements for the current year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I know that we are running out of time. I had several questions, but I will only put one question. What was the total cost of purchasing the new building in Pretoria, and what is the cost of refurbishing the new building in Pretoria? The second part of the question is, what is the estimated cost of opening 9 provincial offices throughout the country? You can understand the thrust of my question. Military veterans cannot eat buildings.
a concern on bullet number 3 on page 25 on the continued non-compliance to timeline. I really don't understand what does the department mean when it talks about the accounting office of this. I don't know whether these are departments or these are entities, the ESM, SESS, COD, MINESCO, and EXCO. I really don't understand if they can explain. Does it need Parliament to intervene this issue? I will just need clarity on that one. Thank you.
Our time is up.
We have an item to deal with. The suggestion that I was made that the department can go and work on this question and bring us answers next week, Tuesday. Is it honorable member comfortable with that?
Yes.
Fine. If you are comfortable with that, I would expect you to bring all the answers next Tuesday. We're supposed to go to oversight because there is a city, and that what we would do, we'll call the institutions to come here and give us feedback on what we require from them, so that we should have something in our report. Thank you very much, the department. Thank you very much. We now have the report, the consideration of the committee's report on the ratification of the Convention of Self-Combination, which I'm going to read, and I will need a mover and a seconder. That's the report of the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans on the ratification of the Convention of Self-Combination, dated 26 February 2014. The Committee on Defense and Military Veterans, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the ratification of the Convention on Trust Ammunitions, referred to it, recommends that the House, in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution, approved first convention, requires to be considered. MS Mutimele, MP Chairperson, Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans. Can we have a mover? Honorable Mlambo, agenda.
No.
Daniels, Bede, Kavadele. Thank you very much. The minutes, are not complete. They will be circulated. And then we can adopt them in our next meeting. Thank you very much for meeting us again.
Thank you. Hello.
That's an invitation. My suggestion is that members may attend the invitation as individuals. We cannot have, I don't see us. No, we'll talk about that. Let's talk about our principles first. I cannot see ourselves having members representing the portfolio committee in such a forum. Honorable Mania?
Chair, just I agree with you. Just to put on record, we will not be attending the business brief, and I would wonder if you could circulate the actual invitation. I'd be very interested in seeing that.
The invitation will be circulated to all of you. So members, honourable members, can go there on their
personal capacity.
Thank you.
Well, go through. Yeah, put down my chair. Yeah. What about this? Oh, no, you can visit. You can visit now. Wait.